And with a look at the backcountry and what this wind is doing to it, on the phone with us, Greg Grenier with the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Leslie. Beautiful morning, clear skies, mountain temperatures in the 20s, getting into the 30s. Got about 1 to 3 inches of snow yesterday afternoon, but good luck finding it as the winds are the dominant story today. Strong winds out of the south are gusting in the 40s through the 60s. At 6 a.m., they peaked at 86 miles an hour at 11,000 feet. I haven't checked since then, but pretty strong winds, even working down into the lower elevations with gusts in the 20s. Yesterday's moderate to strong southwesterly winds created a few pockets of sensitive soft wind drifts at the mid and upper elevations, but these are pretty shallow, 2 to 8 inches thick, and not breaking out very widely. So for today, two primary avalanche problems. One, wind slabs. The strong winds overnight and into today, these winds are going to find any soft snow and will transport it, creating these fresh wind drifts. Although I'm expecting these drifts to be scattered, you're going to find fresh wind slabs on all aspects at all elevations. Secondly, persistent slabs. We've been having avalanches breaking into this old snow this past week. It's been happening all season long, really. And this includes layers of faceted snow at the mid-pack, as well as down near the ground. This terrain you can find above 9,000 feet in aspects facing west through southeast. Slopes where you're going to find this problem, more likely to find this problem, include thinner snowpack areas outside of the upper Cottonwoods. So, for example, along the Park City ridgeline. We're also seeing it on slopes that have already slid this season. Although we're not expecting the bulk of the snowfall with this upcoming storm to begin falling until later Saturday, drifting from these strong prefrontal winds will add stress to these weak layers. For the bottom line, we have issued an avalanche watch. And what that means is we expect a rising avalanche hazard. This may get upgraded to an avalanche warning for tomorrow. So for today, avalanche danger is considerable at the upper elevations and moderate at the mid-elevations for fresh wind drifts. These drifts can be found on all aspects. Deeper slides can be triggered on isolated slopes facing west through north through southeast, especially on slopes with a thinner snowpack. Strong winds today and into Saturday and a forecasted cold front with heavy snow arriving Saturday afternoon means this weekend's going to have a rising avalanche hazard. So for your listeners who are planning on getting into the backcountry, please visit the UAC website for any updates. That's about it for us. Excited to see what happens with the storm.
Okay. Yeah, we too. Hey, thanks.
Thanks so much, Leslie. Bye-bye.
And on the phone with us now with a look at what's going on at the Utah State Parks here locally, I have Kathy Gahn now. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
So winter's back, but it's not too early to start making your summer camping reservations. So you can make camping reservations at the state parks 4 months in advance. So we're now at July 2nd. So if people want to come out and camp over the holiday, which July 4th is on a Wednesday, so it's going to be odd. I don't know which weekend is going to be busier, but you can make those reservations starting today. So you can do that at reserveamerica.com, or you can go to call 800-322-3770. And this is the time of season that we are hiring all of our summer help. So if kids are looking for jobs for the summer, they need to stop in the parks and get applications. Typically, all the parks are open at this time. If there's any ice on the reservoir, it's not safe. So, except at East Canyon, they say their ice is pretty good and the ice fishing has been doing good. But other than that, Rockport is froze over, but it's not good ice. So just be careful while you're out there. Our cross-country ski trail at Wasatch is not open. Typically, the campgrounds will open around April 1st, depending on the snow. And then also the golf courses should they were going to open, and then we got snow. So probably around March 15th, unless it keeps snowing, the golf courses may open. So other than that, the parks are open, and fees are still, you still got to pay your day's fees. Annual passes, you can buy annual passes at any park and come out and have some fun.
Thanks so much, Kathy. Coming up next week, a series of events being put on by Connect Summit County to assist with communicating and connecting with your teen in the age of smartphones and social media. In the studio with a preview, I have the director of Connect Summit County, Shauna Wiest, along with Justin Manley, who is a social worker. good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Leslie.
Shauna,
thank you.
Yeah, let's start with you, Shauna. Maybe you can just, these are all free and open to the public. I mean, is it the same program just being offered in different locations?
It is. We decided to have this program because we receive a lot of email on how social media and smartphones are having a profound effect on the way adolescents today communicate with one another, filter their lives, and spend their free time. And we know that this new technology is difficult to resist. There's peer pressure. It's even hard for adults to resist. And it's not easy to parent when there are so many social media messages competing for space in your child's mind. So we are having this programming in coordination with the Summit County Library, the Park City Library, and the Summit County Health Department, cross-community programming in four locations across Summit County. And we are very pleased that on March 13th, we will be included in the CAMIS Opportunities Night at South Summit High School as a breakout session.
Okay. Justin, you'll be participating in all of these?
Yes, in most of them I will.
Okay. And what is it? Is it for teens and their parents, or is it just really for parents to?
Well, we really wanted to provide educational programming for the parents, and the catalyst for this programming was really twofold. Early in January 2018, two of the largest shareholders from Apple Computer sent a letter of concern to the tech giant, citing research that U.S. teenagers who spend 5 hours or more per day on their phones are 71% more likely to have a risk factor for suicide. And further, that same research also indicated that eighth graders who are heavy users of social media have a 27% higher risk of depression than their counterparts who are playing sports, who are having face-to-face interactions, or are even just doing their homework. And we know by this research that having depression as a youth means you're probably more likely to have it as an adult. And the second catalyst was that we learned from the Summit County Library, Dan Compton, that there was grave concern over Netflix's decision to renew the controversial series 13 Reasons Why for a second season. And if you're not familiar with this series, it tells the disturbing tale of Hannah Baker's path to suicide. And it has definitely served as a trigger for suicidal ideation for some youth in this community. And so you might think, and a lot of parents might think, that kids are looking at Netflix on the television. They subscribe to it right on their smartphone or their tablet, and that's where they're watching it. And there are no – it's really hard to have parental control. So we are working with the library to get ahead of season two. So we're reframing the 13 Reasons Why as 13 ways to better communicate with your teens, with their smartphones and social media.
So again, that – this would be more geared towards parents.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We are going to have tangible takeaways. And what's so great about it is that we will have behavioral health providers like Justin Manley who will be there because they are seeing these kids in the community. And so the parents will be able to hear from these providers. And we will also have the teens themselves who will be sharing the modern teen experience, which could be very different than what the parents think it is.
So, Justin, let's talk about some of those statistics that Shauna just reeled off are pretty sobering. I mean, are you seeing that in your practice?
Yes, I think what we realize is that the teens and the kids that we see today have never really experienced life without social media, so which is a different experience than parents have had. So having crucial conversations about what that experience is in the social media realm is definitely needed in the parenting experience to address some of these statistics that we're seeing now.
Yeah. And what is it? I mean, what we didn't talk about was just the addictive nature of it and how it just triggers the dopamine releases and things like that. So it's much like smoking cigarettes or any of those other kind of addictive behaviors. I think we're starting to see some of the research with that as well.
Yes, if you track the amount of hours that teens are spending on social media, now it's quite remarkable. And also parents. A lot of times I'll work with families and I'll have conversations about the dinner table or walking in the door after work or going to school, and everybody's on their telephones looking at various apps and interacting. The really profound thing, if you think about when we grew up, when we left school at the end of the day, the interaction with peers was essentially over unless there were sports and various other activities going on. Now it's almost 24/7, this interaction. And when things happen on social media, like breakups or negative comments, these are real experiences, just like that teens would have had in face-to-face experiences.
Yeah, no more of those conversations that you had to have with your boyfriend on the phone with the parents right around the corner, because
exactly.
The cord only reached so long.
That's right.
Exactly right.
So what is it? I mean, what is it? I mean, that you can tell parents, you know, right now in terms of, you're not going to say, I'm taking your cell phone. But maybe we do. I don't know.
No, in fact, it's quite risky to take the cell phone completely, because these are the way that teens interact socially. We just want to be having really crucial, important conversations about what's happening on social media, really actively listening and being empathetic, going in with an attitude of I care about you and I want to know what's going on, and not to be harsh or critical about it. And really trying to be active in those conversations to express being empathetic about, rather than judgmental and giving advice, because sometimes teens really tend to push back on those types of conversations.
All right. And this is also that age where children that age really want to push away from the parents. And so that's difficult in and of itself.
It definitely is. And so sometimes just being present with your teen and asking open-ended questions and being empathetic without giving a lot of advice and a lot of words. Sometimes there's just a lot of comfort in being available and being present as a parent.
Yeah. And I think just kind of a shared experience as well is always helpful. It's not that this is yours, but this is what happened to me.
You know, Leslie, that's a great point. Is as parents, you know, we need to be willing to show our kids that we also fail and struggle, that is real. And if we hide that and keep that, then we don't give our kids an opportunity to understand that we are also human beings and struggle and make mistakes at times and can model really great ways of handling those situations.
Yeah. And it's so different. I mean, when we were embarrassed as children, it was really within the group, and then it got certainly communicated. Now it's just so viral, and everybody can see it. I mean, whether or not it was videoed and now shared to, you know,
absolutely
tens of thousands.
And we are going to talk about what's appropriate sharing of information, what isn't. Online photos stay online forever. We're going to address cyberbullying, sexting. And you made a comment, Leslie, about the addictive nature of these apps. And in the Apple letter to the shareholder letter to Apple, that they acknowledge that these apps were deliberately created to be addictive in nature, so that the young people would use them.
Yeah. Again, let's run through the dates for
sure.
Next week.
Absolutely. So our first night is going to be March 6th in Colville at North Summit High School. March 7th will be, and these are all at 6 p.m., March 7th in the community room at Park City Library, March 8th at 6 p.m. in the auditorium at the Summit County Library. This is the Kimball Junction branch. And then March 13th, it will be in Camas at Opportunities Night at South Summit High School. And that's a breakout session.
Okay. Anything else you guys wanted to add while you're here?
You know, one last comment is Connect is really working hard in the community to work on prevention. And so we're coming to these nights with the hope of offering some good tools for parents to really prevent an increase in anxiety and depression and things like that. So we want to get in and have these conversations early with our teens, and we're hoping we can offer some really great tools to do that.
Absolutely. There will be tangible takeaways. We'll have referrals to providers, and we will have a lot of brochures and handouts for the parents to have. And also, at the beginning, we are going to ask the parents to turn off their cell phones.
Great idea. Will you be recording any of these sessions and posting them?
That hasn't been determined yet. We are working with the libraries to do that.
Okay. Shauna Wiest and Justin Nanley, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Leslie.
And again, you can get more information by going online to connectsummitcounty.org. Sending you right there to more social media there. Well, after serving on an interim basis, the Kimball Arts Center has announced its new director, Jerry McUmber. He joins me now in the studio with another new hire, Communications and Events Director Amy Roberts. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So, Jerry, you were named interim director last November, I believe. It was, a trial basis?
Well, I was first got involved with the Kimball and their education programs. I'm a lifelong educator, and when I first started, the previous executive director decided to return to the Clark Planetarium. And so I stepped in as the interim director and did some work for a month or so, and the board decided to, and I was interested in becoming the full-time executive director, and they appointed me in January as full-time.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why this was something you wanted to do.
Like I said, I'm a lifelong educator, and I've worked mostly in private schools and mostly in New England. I came out here to run the athlete career and education programs for U.S. Ski and Snowboard. When the education director position came up at the Kimball, I was really interested in that because I feel that arts education and teaching the creative process is really the next generation of learning in the world. So that's what got me interested. And then when I got there, I saw the exciting work they were going to do with the project at Bonanza Park and the Cultural Arts District. And I've actually been involved in construction and designing facilities as well. So all that lined up with what I like to do.
Okay. So in terms of your background in art, you don't necessarily have that, but you have what kind of the fundraising, the construction, and the management experience, huh?
It's a good question. I started as an English teacher, so I've taught writing and creative writing. And then as a dean of faculty at Holiness School, was in charge of rewriting the art curriculum at our school and building an art facility. So I saw that from administrative level. And then I talk about I rub elbows a lot with my family. I have two cousins who are professional artists. My mother is a docent in the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. My daughter's a practicing artist. So I rub elbows with a lot of artists as well.
Yeah. Where are we in the process for a new Kimball Arts Center?
Really in the design, in the broad design. So the city has picked Lake Flato to do the overarching design for the Cultural Arts District. And they're working on their plans, like where our footprint's going to be, where Sundance footprint's going to be. And then we are in the process of picking our architect over the next month and also putting together our wish list, what we want to put for programming and spaces in the new building.
Yeah. This was before your time, but we did kind of go through an architectural contest that we saw for the old Kimball Arts Center there at Heber in Maine. Is that something you're going to do, or are you just going to get bids?
Yeah, we're just going to get bids. We're down to two that we're going to hear from, and we're not going to do a public contest this time.
Okay. In terms of moving forward, though, I mean, I think all we have right now is a letter of intent between Kimball and the city. I mean, does something else need to happen to kind of finalize that commitment?
It's more than a letter of intent. The city's our landlord right now, and we are negotiating the next set of the agreement. So we don't have a final agreement yet, but most of the points are agreed upon about where we're going.
Yeah. Okay. And Amy, you just also started at the Kimball after serving in a similar position at Park City Hospital. Just time for a change?
Yeah, 9 years is a long run. I remember thinking to myself, man, I've had friends that have been married 3 or 4 times in the amount of time I've been here at the hospital. Mm-hmm. So I was ready for a change. And similar to Jory, there were a lot of things that piqued my interest about where the Kimball is moving and what I have done had done in my role at the hospital in terms of building something from scratch and being part of a community effort that is really exciting and is going to benefit the community as a whole for years and years and years to come.
All right. So in addition to the kind of the communications job, you also have taken on as the events director. What does that mean?
Well, mostly the Kimball Arts Fest. I'm drinking from a fire hose a little bit in this role, learning everything still, but it's kind of a beast. That's a big deal. So that's exciting. There is an events manager that we recently hired, and she has experience organizing and managing the X Games and Circuit of America's Formula One races. So she's got a lot of events experience, and she will complement each other well, I think. I will be communicating a lot about what she's actually doing on the operations side.
So in addition to the Kimball Arts Festival, which of course is it's huge and the number one fundraiser for you, I mean, what are they? I mean, you do exhibits, but you also do, I know, the art talks and what other kind of events?
Yeah, there's some great exciting events coming up. We're partnering with Recycle Utah to do green drinks at our gallery. There is a listening room event on April 6th, which is a lot of local musicians that are going to come in and have a place to play and entertain. All of this information is available on our website, KimballArtsCenter.org, as well as our Facebook page. So give us a like on Facebook and you'll stay up to date. And then in May, we'll have Monster Draw, which was held, I believe, for the first time last year. And very exciting. People loved watching local artists come and have a limited amount of time to draw something and create something. And then those were pieces of art were sold for $50. So three really great events coming up. We've got our summer camps, which are... We've just finished the copy and the text on those, and they're currently being uploaded to our website now. They should all be up by early next week, but if you want to get a jump start on those, check our website again, sign up for some of those summer camps. They're good for ages 3 to 18, and most of them are Monday through Friday. There's a couple that are Monday through Thursday, given a holiday.
Okay. Again, you'll say that'll be up next week then for people?
Some of them are up now. It just takes the uploading process to the website is a little bit, takes a little while. So there's, if you go on there today, you'll certainly see some of them, but they aren't probably all up just yet. So check back soon.
Okay. And then we've, in terms of our current exhibit, it's Nicole Pietrani. And this was the one that she worked with her husband who does kind of the
he's a poet.
Script.
Yeah.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
But pulled the words out of some kind of huge study.
It was a scientific document, yeah.
Yeah. Saying that he pulled words from a scientific document doesn't make it sound nearly entertaining as an exciting and really as sophisticated as it is to come in and to see it and to the words that he highlighted and chose and pulled into the exhibition it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, so beautiful landscapes, and they're based on these kind of accordion or fold out kind of book-like.
Yeah, a lot of the digital printmaking and large-scale printmaking, which are all classes that you can take in our summer camps and for both kids and adults.
Okay, and then you also have in the Cafe Gallery, Wilderness Drawings and Prints by Fred Montague.
Yep.
Both of them remain open until April 15th. And what's something to look forward to?
You know what? The Wasatch-backed Student Art Show, which will be up towards the end of April. And that is students from both Park City and Wasatch County submit their pieces of art. And I believe our curator, Nancy, said there were over 400 pieces that she puts up and displays. So that'll be exciting.
Great. Anything else you guys wanted to mention?
We'd say follow us on Facebook because there's a lot of exciting changes, and we're really excited about some of the things that we're offering, and you can find out about them first.
Okay. Well, again, congratulations to both of you. I think you've got a couple of other new positions as well.
Yeah. As we mentioned, the events manager that I hired, and then when Jory took the...
our new education director is Heather Staminoff, who has experience as a teacher and a degree in arts education. Really smart, really energetic. And has a unique skill of, I've seen her teach everything from tots to adults effectively, and that's hard to do, to teach different ages. And she's helping design and grow our education program.
All right. Well, with a lot of turnover, it sounds like you guys have kind of got some stable footing here.
We call it growth, not so much turnover.
Yeah, it's exciting to build a new team.
Okay. Jory, Amy, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks.
Well, South Summit students and parents invited to attend the third annual Opportunities Nights. It's happening Tuesday, March 13th. It starts with a tailgate at 4:45. In the studio with details, I have Danielle Gillette. She's a school counselor, along with STAR students Marley Smith and Caitlin Lewis. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Caitlin, let's just start with you and talk a little bit. What does STAR stand for?
Students Taking Active Roles.
Okay. And Marley, what is it that this group is trying to do?
Basically, we're trying to reduce stigma around mental health and help prevent suicide. We have already prevented 2 suicides in our school using QPR training.
Okay, and so how many kids are involved in this STAR group?
Probably about like 20, but we have a lot of people that are joining, so it's getting more out there and more people are wanting to come join our club.
Okay, so is it kind of an after-school club where you meet during school hours, lunch breaks and stuff like that, or...?
It's been both. We originally started meeting like Saturday mornings, and then it evolved to lunches. And at the moment, we are meeting after school Wednesdays.
Okay. And again, everybody's welcome to come. And what is it that you discuss then? I mean, do you have a topic for each of the weekly meetings? Or?
Yeah, or we have like a topic for each month. Like last month we talked about like time management and stuff. So it just depends on what month we really focus on what we're talking about for that month.
Yeah, and then so you spent one of the sessions then learning about the training that you were talking about?
Yes. One day after school, it was our club and then the peer leaders. We did QPR training, which is sort of like CPR, but for suicide. And we watched a video and asked questions, and it actually really helped us in South Summit.
Yeah. And so when you talk about how you help prevent two possible suicides, how was that, that kids intervened?
Mm-hmm. I personally helped with one of them. A friend and I noticed the signs and alerted a counselor. Then we like went to the student's house and alerted their family to make sure that they were okay.
Yeah, how are they doing now?
I'm sure they're doing better. I've been keeping in touch with them, and yes, they're doing much better.
All right. And then your group has also started a grassroots effort to begin random acts of kindness. Tell me about that.
Pretty much, basically, we just want everyone in our school to be aware of our club, and we want to spread kindness. Like every day, a little service project can always change someone's life. So personally, we try to find something to do that day. Maybe it's just smile or compliment someone, just so people know that we're welcoming and we're not like a judgmental group at all.
Yeah. So that, I mean, you just take that on yourself, that are each of the...
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the reaction been to it? I mean, people noticing?
Somewhat, yeah. It's really more to just show that like high school isn't as scary as you think it is and that people do care and are kind.
Okay. Let's see. We also have, as I mentioned, Opportunities Night. I know the Sheriff Martinez is going to come talk to us a little bit about that as well. But it kicks off with a tailgate party. That's a good way to start things off. We're going to have the jazz band playing, also food trucks. Dan, you only want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're really excited about it. This is our third year doing Opportunities Night through South Summit School District. We have a lot of community partners coming in, and we're trying to make it be a fun family atmosphere by bringing in some food trucks. We've got Lola's coming from Heber City, and then we also have Waffle Love, which is a favorite of everyone's. So we just think it's going to be a really good time. We're going to have food, we're going to have entertainment, and then we're going to have a really fantastic keynote speaker. We also have childcare available for anyone who is preschool and up, and then parents can decide how old they want their kids to be to come into the keynote. Any breakout sessions, our recommendation is fifth or sixth grade and up, but it is up to the parents, of course. So we are really excited about this event coming up.
Yeah, tell me about the food, though. That always gets people there. So it'll be a charge for that?
There will be a charge for that. So everyone will be on their own for food. We will have some free cookies and such, free entertainment, that kind of thing. But it's just a way to draw people out and to have them come out. I know that a lot of these food trucks have a good following of people. So we're hoping to draw people just from the food trucks.
Okay. And then between 5:30 and 7:15, there's a service fair. What's that?
So the service fair is all of our community partners coming out. We're going to have several tables set up inside of our high school, just giving information, and there's going to be representative there to answer questions and such.
All right, just the different services that are available for
yes.
teens and parents. Okay, and then you mentioned the keynote speaker. That's going to be happening at 6 o'clock inside the auditorium? Or
yes. Yes, so our keynote speaker is Clint Pulver. He is a native of Heber City, and from what I can tell, he's extremely engaging, and students really love him. He uses drums, he uses sound, he uses music, all kinds of different things, and I think he'll be extremely entertaining and fun to watch for everyone.
What's his topic?
His topic is going to be anti-bullying, which I think is a really great timing to come on the heels of all of these things that are going on both nationally and locally. And so it's really just a message of students being inclusive of others.
All right. And then they're going to have breakout sessions. These go from 7:15 to 8:15, and people have a choice of four different ones. Is it that you can go to one during the hour, or are you going to split? You'll have an opportunity to go to two, or how is that going to work?
They'll just choose one, okay. One breakout session, huh?
All right. And as we talked to earlier, Connect is doing the communicating and care, connecting with your teen in the age of smartphones and social media. What are some of the others?
The others will be put on by the sheriff's office. So they're going to cover juvenile law enforcement, internet safety, and then drugs and other harmful substances.
Okay. Again, it's an opportunity for the community to come out and have fun and actually learn something.
Yeah, everyone is invited.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so.
Okay. Hey, thanks for coming
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, you were the Summit County Sheriff's Office instituting an initiative regarding school safety. In the studio to tell us more about that, I have Summit County Sheriff Justin Martinez. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Leslie.
So tell us a little about this an initiative. What is it that you're trying to do here?
Well, we're obviously, after what happened in Florida, we're increasing our presence in the schools. Last week, it was Monday this week, I went and met with every single superintendent, every single principal or vice principal, if the principal wasn't there, and talked about how we're going to improve and basically just be more presence in the school. What I've mandated of my entire staff and myself included is we need to have an increased presence. I'd love to have a school resource officer in every single school, but I don't have the manpower. So trying to be innovative, what I've mandated is that for now on, any deputy, any detective, any administrator who happens to be out in the community and they happen to be driving by a school, the expectation is they will stop by the school and at very minimum do a drive-through just to be present at the schools. And the expectation, the hope is they will additionally get out and do a walk-through of the school as well.
So get out of the car. Walk through, say hello.
Absolutely. Be present. We want to have an increased presence. So, for example, and the other thing we're doing is as we drive through the parking lot, as we're present in the schools, when we're driving through, we're going to have our rear red and blue flashers on. And the purpose behind that is we want to be very conspicuous. We want people to know we're there. We want the students, the staff, parents to know that we're actually in the school parking lots patrolling. And the reason for that is, for example, my vehicle is an unmarked Toyota Highlander. If somebody were to see me driving through the school parking lot, they would not know that I was a law enforcement agent. But if they see the red and blue flashers, anybody that's in that vicinity knows that there is a law enforcement officer present at that moment. So that is the initiative going forward. And I just wanted to let your listeners know and let parents know that if they see red and blue rear flashers, that's a good thing. We're there being proactive. We're there being part of the school. And then in addition to that, to get out, to go in, to walk through the schools, and to be seen.
All right. And I understand the intent is to be friendly here.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, there's a fine line between intimidation when you see an armed officer, uniformed officer, walk in.
Yeah, well, we already have school resource officers in the school. They're armed, they're in uniform. This is just going to be an addition to that. You know, unfortunately, we are in a state now where we've got to, as law enforcement, pivot in how we approach school safety. And this is just a way to max utilization of my assets and to be more present. It's not a police state by any stretch of the imagination. It's very friendly. It's very open. But it's just increasing law enforcement presence to let the parents, the staff, the students know that we're there. And it's very random. That's the other thing. That's the beauty about this. It's not all the time. It just happens to be if we're going, a deputy goes to an alarm in Jeremy Ranch. When they're finished with that alarm, the expectation is they'll just drive through, at minimum, drive through the parking lot and be present.
All right. So we've got the schools out in the basin, yes, that you'll be covering. You won't be coming into the high school or like McPolin and Learning Center here?
No. So I've been in close communication with Chief Wade Carpenter of Park City. His police department is also very much on board with this initiative, so they will be doing this as well. So between the Park City Police Department and Park City School District, those schools that are within my jurisdiction and North and South Summit, we will all be participating in this initiative going forward. And this is not a knee-jerk reaction. This is really a philosophical change in school safety, and I think this is going to be something that is a cultural shift in how we approach school safety moving forward.
All right. And just a heads up, if these vehicles have their full flashing lights on, it means pull over because you're on a call.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for clarifying that. If we have our front wigwags, sirens, the full setup, that's a totally different circumstance. But just seeing somebody in a parking lot with rear flashers is just an indication that we're there presently patrolling. Okay. And being conspicuous.
All right. And it sounds like we're not spending any extra money on it. I mean, we're doing – it's just adding more.
Absolutely. And then that's the beauty about this is that this doesn't cost the taxpayers any more money. It's just, again, max utilization of the resources that if they happen to be in the area, this is an expectation going forward. And the other thing that I'm mandating is that they take a case number. They take a report so that I can quantify these numbers as we move forward to show, you know, if more people are focusing on a certain school, a certain region, if we need to up our patrols to another area. So we will be taking case numbers so I can actually track and statistically quantify what we're actually doing.
Okay. Hey, well, I've got you in here. Can I ask you a little bit as the Utah State Legislature considers a bill to do away with the death penalty? Have you made a statement on in terms of what the Sheriff's Department feels about the death penalty? Or
so the Utah Sheriff's Association as a whole has taken a stance of not abolishing the death penalty. There's pros and cons to both sides of this argument, obviously. So the Utah Sheriff's Association has taken a non-abolishment. They do not want to see it go away. And more on the grounds of that it's a tool. I'm not saying that the death penalty by any stretch of the imagination is a flawless system. I definitely think there are flaws in it and it needs to be looked at. But it is a tool that prosecutors can use to get people on convictions of life sentences. In exchange for plea of death penalty.
Okay, so it happens kind of on the law, the justice side of things.
Correct.
As opposed to the law side of things, given that, because I had heard earlier that research shows that the death penalty does not deter people from committing crime.
You know, I don't know if any specific punishment would actually deter anybody. If anybody's going to commit a crime, I can't foresee somebody being so cognizant that they would say, if I commit this crime, these are the ramifications, these are the punishments, therefore I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. People commit crimes, period, and they don't think about the ramifications until it's over. So I don't see it as necessarily a specific deterrent, but I think, you know, it's a tool that can be utilized within the justice system.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I want to thank you and thank your listeners and just if they see the red and blues in a school and they're rare, it's a good thing. We're there. We're present. But I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to reach out to your listeners.
Okay. Justin, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Leslie.
And Summit County Sheriff Justin Martinez. You're listening.